Tonight we're going to just look at some prayers of Christ there in the book of Luke. And Lily, were these out there on the table? Does anyone need a copy of the worksheet tonight? Anyone need a copy of the worksheet before we get started? Can one of the young guys get a copy for Brother Sutherland, please? Keep it at Corby. If you need a copy of the paper for tonight, if you raise your hand, and Brother Corby's getting those for us. Man, it took a while to get that video to work this evening. We spent about half hour trying to get it work, so I ain't sure what happened. They finally worked, so thank the Lord for that. Book of Luke. There, if you look at your worksheet, you can see, pretty much just an outline tonight. I'm going to do it this week, and hopefully I'll get it finished next week. I'm going to do the short part this week and the longer part next week. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get the sermon started. Father, Lord, we do want to stop. Acknowledge tonight that we need your help. Lord, thank you for the example that we have in Scripture of your prayer life. Lord God, I pray this year as we begin to look at prayer and study prayer, Lord, help us to learn more about prayer. I thank the disciples for this. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, I pray you'd help us as a church and individuals, help us to learn to pray. And God, I pray tonight as we look just at a few points here out of the book of Luke, some of the prayers of Jesus when he was here on earth as the God-man. Lord, I pray you'd help us learn tonight. We ask in Christ's name, amen. We know from other past studies that Luke, he presents to the Lord as man. We know that in Matthew we see Christ as king, in Mark we see him as a servant, in Luke we see him as a man, and in John we see him as deity. Now, I'm beginning to think about what to preach on tonight. A couple weeks ago, Pastor asked me to prepare a message, prepare a message on prayer, and I began to think, I wanted to look at the life of Christ and see how he prayed. We'll look at the first six prayers of Christ here in Luke. I think there's either 11 or 12, but tonight we're going to look at the first six prayers of Christ. If you would, look at Luke 3:21, I'm going to stand still tonight. Luke 3:21. We see the first prayer recorded of Christ here in the book of Luke is Luke chapter 3, verse 21. And the other Gospels, they record the same account, but they do not record his prayer at this time. But Luke chapter 3 and verse 21, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. The Holy Ghost descended in a body shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, and the other Gospels, they leave that as well, 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heliah. So we'll go there on our notes. Number one, the text, the letter A, Luke's the only Gospel to record that Jesus praying at his baptism. We see that Christ prays at his baptism. Also, letter B, with Luke also added that Christ was 30 years of age at his baptism. Luke adds he's 33 years of age. I think that's important because number one, we see that Joseph was 30 when Pharaoh elevated him to power. We see that David was 30 when he came to the throne. We see that the Levites took up their duties when they were 30. Look over, hold your place in Luke, and then look over to Numbers chapter 4, verse 3. We see that the priest could not start their duties until they were 30. Book of Numbers chapter 4. In fact, if I'm talking too quick, somebody slow me down. Numbers chapter 4, verse 3 says, from 30 years old and upward, even until the 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work of the tabernacle, the congregation. So we see that the age was 30. And I believe that's when Christ was starting his earthly ministry here at the age of 30. And then letter C, some lessons to learn. We see Christ began his earthly ministry with prayer, showing his submission and dependence upon God. Christ began his ministry with prayer, showing his submission and dependence upon God. And we also look at Galatians 2:20. Another lesson we can learn is that we cannot do it without his help either. Look at Galatians 2:20. We as men need the Lord's help. Galatians 2:20 says this: I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we see the lesson to learn that Christ begins earthly ministry at the age of 30. He prayed, showing submission to God. We see that we need to do as well. And then another thought there, you know, if you want to add a number three under number two there, is that we see that prayer brings power. And in our lives, that prayer brings power. I had a professor in college that said, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. So it's important for us to learn tonight that in our life, we need to pray to have the power of God upon our life. So that's the first prayer of Christ. And then look at the second prayer of Christ. Look at in there, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12 through 17 for context sake. Luke 5 verse 12. And it came to pass when he was a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for that cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. So much so more that when their frame brought him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into a wilderness and prayed. It came to pass on a certain day that as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, of Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Okay, go back to Roman number two. We see that this prayer took place, but between all of that he went through there in 12 through 15, we see what lie ahead. I can learn from that. Number one, that we need a secret place to be alone with God. Each of us, you know, my thought was this: you know, if Christ Himself, while a man here on earth, if He needed to take time from all the affairs of life to stop and pray, how much more do I need to stop and pray? So it's important that we all have a secret place to be alone with God. Then I think also, second, we see that value in prayer after and before spiritual battles. After battles, to praise Him for His victories and to keep focused on His power, not ours. You know, our lives, I think it's important for us to learn to pray. To learn to pray when we're tired, to learn to pray when things are well, when things are bad. It's important for us to learn to pray. You know, I think that if I can learn to pray, I think that it will help me keep focused on Him. If I can stop and learn to pray in the storms of life, the storms won't seem so big if I focus on Him. So we're going down the third thing. Luke chapter 6 verse 12, and then we'll tie everything together here in a little bit. Chapter 6 verse 12, we see here that this takes place in the second year of His ministry. Luke 6:12. It came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. We said, you know, he's in the middle of second year of ministry. He just went through verse 11, and they were filled. The you know, people there was filled with madness to commune one with another. What they might do to Christ. And then we see that the next day he's going to make some decisions about who the disciples are. And he took time to stop and to pray. My thoughts on this one was simple as well. Before we make decisions, take time to stop and pray. Take time to stop and pray before we make the decision of life, and then stay in the book to listen. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1:5. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, the importance of prayer. If Christ himself took time to pray, how much more ought we to pray? Verse 5, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel came not only unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost. The key word I'm looking at is word. Came to you in word only. So when we pray, we talk to God, and when we listen, we read God's word. Example I thought of for this is many years ago when the kids were smaller. My wife and I was going on vacation, and they're on a vacation before time to go, about a week or so before time to go. I was praying for safety, and then I was reading in Proverbs at that time, I read a phrase that safety is of the Lord. And for some reason, I was focused on that verse. And every time I prayed, my book of the morning, that verse was in my mind. There was something wrong I had to pray. And so I took the car to the shop. You know, I had the car all checked out. You know, they said everything was okay with the car. We checked the brakes. We checked everything. We knew on for the car. And then we got ready to go, and I still, that verse came back in mind, say to the Lord. I began to pray the way down. I'd have Ricky pray along the way. Crystal would pray. My wife would pray, and I'd pray. I mean, from here to Georgia, probably every hour or so, we had a word of prayer. And then we got there, and I thought, well, no big deal. You know, Lord, Lord, I must have overreacted. Nothing happened, and so we walked. We took the luggage out of the car, and we walked inside. Came back out, and the back seat was on fire. And I thought, wow. So I grabbed the back seat, and then the back seat. We got the fire with all extinguished. And I said, well, that's just I'm a doubtful mind. I'm just terrible. And I thought, well, that's just a coincidence. That's not a big deal. So I took the car to the shop to see what happened, and the guy at the shop said that there's a small hole on the top of the exhaust pipe, and that small hole had burned through everything and had started a fire in the back seat. And I'm thinking, well, that's just a small fire, it's nothing big. He said just last week, a couple was going down 75 just outside of Atlanta. The car burst into flames. Two kids died in the back seat of that car. Again, I said, well, that's just a coincidence. And then on the way home, we stop and pray. And I got behind a tractor trailer on the back doors. It said, safety is of the Lord. I said, Lord, okay, Lord, thank you. I was wrong, and you was right. So my thought this evening is this. What if, I always share a lot of illustrations where I failed in my life, but this one of the illustrations, thank the Lord, it worked out. What if I'd prayed but not read my Bible, where the Lord could speak to my heart through that verse? We pray to God, and then we listen. So let's just go on to the next prayer of the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Luke 9:18. I already had my chili, so I'm in no hurry tonight. Luke 9:18. Luke Hebrews chapter 9, verse 18. Says this: "It came to pass, as he was alone praying, the disciples were with him. It came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people I am?" Going over just our notes for letter A, the Lord had just miraculously fed about 5,000 there in verse 14. We see letter B, it does not record that Jesus ever prayed with the disciples. He prayed for them. He prayed in their presence. He taught them to pray, but his own prayer life was private. And my thought on this was this evening is simply this: spend time with the Saviors. The disciples walked and talked with him. We can too. Now, number two, he will be only as real in our daily life as he is our devotional life. He'll only be as real in our daily life as he is our devotional life. You know, we can tell a difference in people that are spend time with Christ and those that don't. Many folks that spend time with Christ, no matter what happens in their life, they are even keel. And you know, and those that don't spend time with Christ, they're like a roller coaster. They're up and they're down. They're up and down. So my thought this evening, I thought this one was: how much time have we spent with the Lord this week? How much time have I spent with the Lord this week? It's important in my life that I spend time with him. And in our lives, many times, he's not real in our everyday life because he's not real in our devotional life. If I only knew my wife from a distance all these years, and maybe I wrote to her, I saw her every so often, we wouldn't be as close as we are now. But because we've corresponded, we've communicated, we've spent time together, I'm close to her and she's close to me. I know her and she knows me. Many times as believers, I think that we get sidetracked and we get so busy in our daily life that we don't stop and spend time with the Lord through our prayer life. And then this year, as we look at prayer, I'm asking God to speak to my heart and speak to my life about the area of prayer. And I'm also asking the Lord to help me in my Bible reading to be more attentive to the Word of God. To when I read it, to not read to say that we have read it, but to see what we can get from it. Okay, then the next one, look at Luke 9:28. For context sake, we're going to read 28 through 30. 9:28. "And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias." Now turn back to hold your place in Luke. Turn back to Mark chapter 9, verse 2. Mark chapter 9, verse 2. The importance of prayer. What prayer does. Mark chapter 9, verse 2. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up to a high mountain apart by themselves, and he transfigured before them." Well, over in Mark it says altered. Here in Luke 9:2 it says transfigured. Okay, let's go back to our notes back again. Letter A, Roman number 5. The purpose for his ascended to mountain, well, you should say one of the reasons for his ascended to mountain was to give the three a vision of himself that would might stay with to the end of their life. And we know from 2 Peter 1:18 that's what took place, that they never forgot what they saw. And letter B, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, his raiment was white and glistening. His face is mentioned first, and then his raiment. And then let us see that there are lessons to learn here. Number one, a shining face comes from contact with God. Look at Exodus 34, 35. Exodus 34, 35, a shining face comes from contact with God. It shows on our countenance. I think of the example of Moses. Exodus 34, 35. The 34 and verse 35. And then the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went down to speak with him. A shining face brings contact from God. You know, I thought also about this here, that Moses was not allowed to go in the promised land because of sin. But he's there now. Here in this passage, he's there. That's just kind of a side note. I thought about that. So the shining face comes from contact with God, and secondly, that transfiguration is the goal for all of us. Look at the word altar there was translated. It means one, not the same. The transfiguration means to change from one form into another. Turn over to Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. What prayer does? Romans 8:29. The word altar means one, not the same. The word transfigure means change from one form to another. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he already predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. I believe that prayer changes us. I believe that as we pray, we're changed from the inside out. And then the last one, Luke chapter 10, verse 21, 22. Luke 10, 21 and 22. Luke 10, 21 and 22. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father in whom the Father is, but the Son to whom the Son will reveal him. We see here the letter A, although that Luke is the gospel of the man of sorrows, yet it is the gospel of joy and praise. In the circumstances of Jesus in Nazareth, where there were sorrows, however, in his spirit there was praise. In his spirit there was praise, what goes there. And letter B, in the spirit of thanksgiving, he addresses the Father in an intimate way, but also gives him the highest title of majesty and power. Lessons to learn here. Despite the storms of life, be thankful for how God is working and praise him. Despite the storms of life, be thankful for how God is working and praise him. Second lesson learned here, don't get so used to prayer, we forget who we're praying to. Don't forget so used to prayer that we come into it with an air of arrogance on our part, but it should be of humility for who we are praying to. So in kind of summation, to go back over it, we see that prayer brings power, and we need power in our everyday Christian life. We see that we need to pray before and after spiritual battles. We praise him for his victories afterwards, and we praise him to keep focused during the bad times. And then we saw also that it's important to pray before we make decisions of life. And we saw also to spend time with the Savior. And then we see that part of a prayer is transformation. And we see in the storms of life, praise God. If our Christian life depends upon our prayer life, will it survive? If our Christian life will be upon my prayer life, will I fail or succeed? I think a man could pastor a church and live in sin. But a man can't live in sin. But a man can't live in prayer and live in sin. There's a lot of pastors that have pastored for years, and then they got caught later in some sort of a scandal, moral, financial, whatever. But I guarantee that man wasn't in prayer. If he was living in prayer, he couldn't live in sin. If I maintain my prayer life with God, it'll keep me free of the bondage of sin. If I keep my prayer life right with God, it'll keep me focused on Him and how He's working in my life. If I keep my prayer life right with God, I'll learn more of Him and I will draw closer to Him. If I keep my prayer life right with God, I'll stay focused on His majesty and how He's such a great God. If I keep my prayer life right with God, I will always respect Him. If I keep my prayer life with God, I will have the power of God upon my life. I'm thankful that the power of God does not depend upon the ability of my speech. I'm thankful the power of God doesn't depend upon how I look or even how I feel at times. But it depends upon my obedience and dependence upon Him through prayer. If Jesus Christ Himself took time to pray, how much more should we as mere humans take time to pray? This week, have we prayed? A lot of people hurting this week. Have we took time to pray for them? Last night, text Brother Harris, please pray now. Pastor prayed and I prayed. This morning, Brother Harris text said, things wasn't bad. Keep praying. Thank God that we can pray. My prayer is not confined to my house in Fayetteville. My prayers can go around the world. I can pray for the Harris in Mexico. I can pray for the missionaries, the Hodness here in Scotland. I can pray for our missionaries around the world. My prayer is not limited to a small space. We have much power at our disposal, but do we use it? It says in James, you have not because you ask not. It says in James, the effectual prayer of righteousness avails much. In my life, as I look at the life of Christ, I thought, man, what a need I have to pray. And folks, as a church, we have a need to pray for each other. We have a need to pray for the lost. We have a need to pray for our missionaries. We have a need to pray for our pastor and his family. We have a need to pray. We have such a great opportunity to affect the world around us and to change ourselves through prayer. Do we avail ourselves of that? This week, how much time, get personal, how much time this week have you spent in prayer? This week, how much time have I spent in prayer? Sunday school teachers, have we prayed for our Sunday school classes? Have we prayed for the individuals in our classes and those needs? Have we prayed for our church staff? Have we prayed one for another as the Lord lays people upon our hearts? Have we prayed for each other? We're told to pray one for another. We know the mechanics of prayer, but do we know prayer? The disciples didn't say, Lord, teach us how to pray. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't say, Lord, teach us the mechanics of prayer. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. In our lives, maybe we just need to stop and say, Lord, teach me to pray. There's no special right way, wrong way to pray. Well, there's a wrong way to pray, but there's no certain amount of words that we have to say. It's when our heart is tuned in to the Lord and we share our heart with the Lord. Teach us to pray. Maybe tonight we should come to the altar and not say, Lord, teach me how to pray. We've all heard lessons on how to pray. The ACT, the adoration, confession, the thanksgiving, supplication. We've heard that, the how-to of prayer. But shouldn't we just stop and say, Lord, teach me to pray? The importance of prayer. I'm thankful for prayer. The folks that I know have prayed for me over the years. I'm thankful for prayer. We've seen some much, we've seen some great things done through prayer in our church this year, last year. We know prayer works. Do we avail ourselves of prayer? I think sometimes we get so conditioned to things, we forget the importance of it. I think prayer is one of the things that we know so well, but we get so used to it, we kind of slack off sometimes. I encourage tonight, let's stop tonight, evaluate our lives, and say, Lord, am I praying as I ought to pray? If not, say, Lord, teach me to pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do love you.